Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. This message has probably been a very long time coming. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to begin in verse 3. I'll probably be very transparent with you today. I want to share some very deep things the Lord has done recently in me. It's just an amazing, amazing transition when you've been one way for so long and when God can finally, oh my God, I was a granite head. I mean, some areas you let God deal with and in some areas you don't. And it's the areas that are in darkness you don't let him deal with and you can't recognize them. You can't recognize them. It's not you don't want to change. Sometimes things are veiled in darkness and you can't see them. Other people can, but you can't hear them. And until God makes that transition and that transformation, it'll just stay with you. And it'll block so many things from your life. And you don't know. Amen. And so I'm going to share with you some things today. I'm going to share with you the easy way out. I'm going to share you with the hard way out. Amen. There's an easy way with God. Of course, I went the hard way. Hallelujah. But he finally gets his way. Amen. Always know that God will get his way. Everyone say, God will get his way. Amen. We're going to pick this up in Genesis 3, verse 3. I couldn't even preach on this probably a month ago. There's no way I could have preached on this. I can now. Amen. Once you're free, you can preach. Once you're free, you can testify of what God's done for you. Amen. But if you're not free, you can't do that. Amen. So he's having a discourse with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, verse 3. Let me just pick it up in verse 5. For God knoweth that the day you eat thereof, speaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then your eyes would be open. See, this is the devil coming to Eve and telling her. God didn't really say you couldn't eat from it. Hath God said, you know, that's how he does. And so the devil's coming to Eve and he's telling her, see, he's deceiving her really. Watch what he said, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Really, he's not said that. He says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as God. That's what you need to underline in your Bible, as God. You shall be as God. You'll be perfect like him. You know, that was the original lie. Because mankind found out real quick they weren't perfect, but some kind of lie that they were supposed to be perfect. So from this point on, when mankind fell, because you know she ate from it, then Adam ate from it, immediately they knew they were naked. Immediately they knew that they weren't perfect. And as soon as that imperfection set in to a lie that said you would be perfect, there causes a dilemma because all of society is driven to be perfect. And if you're not accepted. Amen. And that's a strong basis for unworthiness because I'm not perfect because there was an original lie told me I was supposed to be perfect. There is one perfect. Amen. His name is Jesus and he will perfect you, but you won't perfect you. I'm just jumping right on in. The more you try to perfect you, it won't happen. And the more you try to have a little perfect world, it won't happen. You're going to make a lot of people miserable creating a very perfect world for yourself. I'll say that again. You can make a lot of people miserable creating a very perfect world for yourself. Amen. So verse 7, and the eyes of them were both open after they ate, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together. Now this is what man does. He goes and gets fig leaves, try to cover himself. First thing that happens when you have an imperfection in your life, you try to cover it. That was their first attempt to cover it. Second attempt was to go hide. Everyone say amen. Oh me. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what God originally designed it to be like. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, you can hide in yourself. Did you know that? You can hide from society. You can hide in isolation. You know, some people, they grow up in a rejected sense, or they grow up in an imperfect world, and they have imperfection and unworthiness in them, and shame and guilt and condemnation. And what they do is they hide. Some people create a facade. They create some kind of character that when they get out in public, this is the person I want you to know, but you ain't really going to know the real person in me, because the real person already been stomped on a couple of times. I'm not going to let that happen again. So I'm going to create something that I think you'll like. Other people that are not so skilled in creating facades, they just withdraw and they hide in seclusion and isolation. And isolation, really, if you want to know the truth, is a form of control. You want to control or create an environment that's controlling a reaction. And if I'm afraid to be out in society, I'll withdraw and create me an environment. Well, I don't have to deal with anybody. I control an environment. So the greatest assignments of the enemy is to isolate and then get you to justify. Let me show you what I'm talking about. When we feel that we have to be perfect and we move out into a society that demands perfection, and then you find you're not perfect, sometimes there is a tendency to withdraw, a tendency to isolate. You'll find a lot of this in pastors. Say amen. You won't know it because you only see them up front. You say, well, how can that be there up front? Because they're in the anointing. But a lot of times, because they go through so much, the only way to protect their heart is they withdraw. Not up in here. Out of here. They create an environment that's not going to let that happen again. And then when they create that environment of isolation, then what they do is start justifying. You know, I've seen people come in here and you can't speak into their life because they can't hear you. But everything they do, they're justified in what they do. And I'll tell you why. Because they isolate themselves from authority. They isolate themselves from real friends that'll speak into their life. They'll isolate themselves from truth. And when you get isolated, and it's me, myself, and I, and then, well, I know God, and it's me and God, you got the first commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. But then loving one another, you know, then that requires some accountability when you start loving one another. We all can love God. I've done it for years. You know, you can love God when there's trouble on the horizon. You run to God and you love God. But when it comes to dealing with mankind, that's the second greatest commandment. That one's not so easy, especially if you got issues. I was going to tell you to look at your neighbor and said, I have some issues, but don't do that. But what we do is we hide. When you hide, you justify. I have seen people with bars of iron justifying, hidden in a place of seclusion, justifying the environment because you're the only one you're talking to. You're receiving counsel from your own mind. When you do that, you get in trouble because you can develop bars around you. You know, you can justify anything. Anything. You can create a little world that's perfect to you. Just as long as nobody's in it, it's all perfect. It's just when anybody else gets in here, it becomes imperfect. So therefore, I'm just going to just drive everybody away. Because I like this perfect world I've created, and I've justified that this is God. Because after all, it's me and God. It's just when anybody else jumps up in there as the problem starts. Because you're not like God. You don't treat me like God. You're violating my perfect world. Therefore, I will push you away. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. I know I am. So when you develop that, and you got the Leavenworth bars of steel around you, some people that might happen to like you, they want to get in. The problem is, once you've created a perfect little world inside that revolves around you, your thoughts, the counsel you give yourself, and what you think you hear from God, And when they come in and start disrupting all that, sometimes you get the pushback. You know what I'm talking about? You'll get the walls because that's a self-protection mechanism that's built in you. And what you don't know is you're just isolated, independent, hurt, probably wounded, probably have been rejected, probably have been betrayed. I don't know anybody in this life hadn't been betrayed. That's the enemy's number one assignment. This is so an offense, a betrayal by somebody you trusted, somebody you cared for, somebody you were close to at one time, violated you. And if we don't learn how to deal with violation, we're going to create things around our life. And oftentimes, not only it's rejection, not only is it shame or guilt, carrying the guilt of that violation, and many times it results in control. Where a controlling spirit will begin to operate because you're going to be a controlling environment where you want to be perfect because you believe you're supposed to be. In your world, you are. But in everybody else's eyes, when are they going to see it? You have 100 people tell you, but if you're blind, you can't hear it. Bible says he's blind to the eyes. He can blind your ears. He can blind your eyes and deafen your ears. After all, if I can just isolate and create my perfect world, you can tune out the whole world if you want to. But you'll find you'll never really bear fruit like that. And a lot of times people like that will have a relationship with God because it's God, you know. I had somebody in here we're counseling the other day come in here just with an attitude. The person said they want to come in. They said, well, he wants to apologize and come in there with an attitude instead. I'm like, he's just going to town. And we were trying to talk to him, but I said something. He goes, you sound too much like my daddy. That's why I'm not going to listen to you. It's mean. I wasn't even doing it. I was just talking to him. I was touching something that probably been with this particular person since day one, since he was raised up. And he doesn't know how to deal with it. So he drives everybody away from him. And he walks in a place, but this person knows God, has a very, oftentimes very deep relationship with the Lord, but it's always affected because he doesn't know the second greatest commandment of loving one another. He's got a fortified city in him, and he doesn't know how to get it out. I've had that for years. I've had the Lord reach in with a winnowing fork and pull stuff out and purge stuff out. And I've let him come into areas I could see, but it was areas I could not see. Not only would I let God deal with it, I wouldn't let anybody else deal with it either. And they hardly would dare to ever say it to me. Because they would get a mouthful if they did. What? What? Because I had justified, and I had an argument too. I could have been a lawyer in this area. Somebody brought this to me. I said, well, let's debate it right now. Come on. And I had all the reasons why I'm not what you're saying I am. Amen. But it wasn't so God. Yeah. I wish that these areas you could get in front of somebody and just cast it out, but you can't cast out a belief system. Because all that gets integrated up into your thoughts. It might be a spirit that comes in as a child that creates, but it'll create a belief system. It'll create a mindset. It'll create behavior patterns, reactions. It'll create walls around you. And so you can get delivered from maybe the spirit that created all that, but all the residue of that mindset has to be transformed. He says, be renewed. It's really in the spirit of your mind. You've got to be renewed in that area. And you've got to be renewed in areas you can't see. Those are the areas God wants the most. Isn't that a revelation? It's not what you want to give to him. Which Pastor Chuck and I can talk freely about this before, but I tell you, there was a time we could never talk freely about this. He was talking to me. He said, you know what you did oftentimes was you sacrifice in other areas instead of obedience. In this particular area. And the area I'm talking about is control. And the way I justified it is that there were a lot of areas I wasn't controlling in. So that's the way I viewed myself. There's no way that there were areas I was very controlling in. If you've been here, you might have seen it. If you have, I don't want you amening. I don't want you amening. I don't want you agreeing. I just want you to be quiet with that smirk on your face and say, you got it, God. You got it, God. But don't be going, hallelujah, amen. I'll tell you an amen today, okay? I'll give you the cue. I can laugh about it now. When you're free, you can. Amen. But when you're not free, see, sometimes that get integrated up in you, and see, your control areas are important to you. You'll control the things that are most important to you, because you want to make them perfect. It all comes from a foundation that wasn't all set, and God works on that foundation, works on it. He got a lot of stuff, and I'm thinking, man, he got everything he wanted to get. He gets everything you can see. I wasn't even praying for that one. I wasn't even looking for that one. I don't even know actually when he did it. I just know that I just woke up this year and said, man, something has changed. I don't have this turmoil. I don't have this need anymore to do this. I can handle situation, and someone talks to me about a certain area that I would have just been majorly defensive in. It's not there. And it come out of this last season of abiding and brokenness and all of that. I'll tell you, 3 months ago, I wasn't ready to have this conversation with myself or you. Amen. Amen. I am now because I'm free. And so if I can stand up here and free of that, that's been probably a part of our ministry since the conception of our ministry. If I can be free, then you can be free of anything. Amen. Here's the good thing. God will use you in your imperfections, but God is going to perfect you. But he's going to do it. You're not going to do it. You cannot create a perfect enough world. You can't do it. But the Holy Ghost can create a maturity of completion and wholeness, but it's so good not to have to walk up in here and think, I got to control everything. I got to control how the service goes. I loved it when the Holy Ghost would move like that. I lived for that. But there's other times I'd come up, pin up so much stuff that I feel I had to make everything perfect up in here. I'm just being honest with you. I did it to such a degree that it caused a lot of problems. I'd bite people sometime. If I ever bit you, forgive me. All right, now that we've showed you the problem, let's show the solution, amen? Because I'm probably not the only one with that issue up in here. I'm probably not. Whether you can see it or not, we all have a few issues. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. One thing about these things, they're much more powerful than we understand. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot deal with issues and situations like this in the natural. That's the whole reason why you putting up walls and creating little worlds of isolation and justification do not work. You cannot put up a wall to humanity all your life. All you'll do is just live behind it all the time. You'll live behind it constantly. And you'll create a world in there that seems okay with you, although there's not a whole lot of peace there. Isn't it amazing what we do, what the heart does, just the natural mechanisms of the soul to create an environment so you don't get hurt anymore or you don't get trampled on anymore. It's amazing how that psyche works, even that's part of our soul. You got to recognize that. I'm going to give you the hard way and the easy way. In retrospect, I could have had this dealt with in the first 5 years of ministry. This church would have been a totally different church right now had I let him do that. But I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let anybody else either. That's just an area that just was blind. Amen. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he tells you what a stronghold is. casting down imaginations or systems of thoughts. Now, imagination is not just something you get in your mind, you cast it down. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about systems of fortresses of thoughts that have been built in you. Systematic ways of thinking, systematic actions, systematic reactions. The stronghold of control is a very real example of that. It wasn't just a mindset that could be cast down. It had to be the whole structural behavior pattern had to be cast down. That had to be dealt with by Almighty God. Amen? Now, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God is to be clothed in humility. That was the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God was actually submission, even though I'm authority in the house. It's amazing in the church world we live in is when we find someone we don't agree with, let's go find someone that'll leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. I want to live life the way I want to live it. Just get me somewhere you just love me. And then after they walk with you a little while, they might see some of your imperfection. They'll still love you. But they might want to try to counsel you in that area. I'll go down the street. I got somebody live with me over there. You treat me like them or I'm not staying here. You see how that works? This is why marriage is such a wonderful thing, because marriage puts somebody up in your life that gets to see all your stuff. And you get to see all their stuff. Amen? And they get to speak into your life and you get to speak into their life. Thus iron sharpeth iron sometime. It's not the stuff we agree with. That's the easy stuff. It's the stuff we don't agree with. When they start touching something that you've been protecting, there's going to be reaction to defensiveness. I'm going to tell you something. If you are a defensive person, if you've got defensiveness, it's because you're trying to defend the territory that you have no business trying to defend. You cannot defend yourself. Jesus alone is our high tower, and he's the only one going to. And the longer you try to defend yourself with all the defensiveness and the walls, you're not going to get anywhere. Haven't you ever noticed the arrows still get through? The more you defend, they still come through. The only one that can defend you is when his high tower is built up around you and arrows are shot at you. And it's like, oh, was that a criticism? Were you criticizing me? I didn't feel it that way, but I mean, somebody can just sit there and just tear into you and you won't react. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. If you're taking an account of a suffered wrong, you're defending something that's hurt, wounded, and out of place, out of alignment in you. And a defensiveness is the sure sign you're protecting something hidden in darkness. Ooh, I'm getting in there. I'm getting in the good place. So you're about to get up in my area now, Pastor. So you talk about your areas, but don't get up in me today. I didn't come to church for you to get up in this area. I just want to come to church, hear a good message, how good I am. Don't get up in there. Because I've had people try to get up in that area when I wasn't ready for them to get up in there. And they got a mouthful from me. And I was good at it. Man, by the time we were through, I just keep talking until I got my way in that area. Because I wasn't going to let anybody speak up in that area. When you're defending something, it's because something's hidden in darkness. Just like the original parents of the human race, they went and hid themselves. You are hiding something. And you won't let it come into the light, and therefore you are defending that area. And at all costs, you'll defend it. It'll be Custard's last stand. You will defend it till you have driven 500 people away from you. And you'll justify every one of them. Well, they did this, this one did this, this one did this, this one did that. This one did this, this one did that. After all, I am the one that's supposed to be perfect here. Don't come up in this area of mine. That is my territory. I know I'm talking to somebody in there. I don't need a show of hands. I already know. So if you are defending an area, you get real good at it. And you get stronger over the years. You also get more bitter at times. You defend with more anger. You can get more vicious. You deny it. Just total denial. It's not there. until you start defending. If you're a very defensive person, you're hiding things. Just like the parents of the human race, you're hiding things in your heart you've not known how to deal with. You're hiding it. Amen? You're hiding it in your building, but that wall, you'll live with it all your life. And it'll cut off a lot that God wants to do with you. Because your promotion's behind that wall. Give the Lord a hand. I mean, some people right now, they're clapping, others are processing. Say, I ain't going to clap and process at the same time. Amen. So, what's the answer? I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you something that'll really help you. But let's continue on right now. Matthew 18. I can preach this and stand up in front of you and say these things today in transparency because I've been set free. And it feels so good. Matthew 18, verse 1. In the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here's what the Lord gave me. I wrote it out in my notes. Pretty powerful one-liner. We can be teachable in our love towards God, but not in our love towards one another. What do you mean by that? Says, the thing about little children, the number one thing about them is they're completely teachable. You can mold and shape them in their infancy, because they're going to listen to you and trust you as a parent. Amen. You shape their thought systems. You shape so many things about them. Amen. Because they don't have preconceived notions. They weren't born with strongholds. Amen. Now, there are times they're born with some things that have to be driven out by the rod, but that's just natural stuff. But they don't have integrated strongholds that have to be transformed. So therefore, they'll receive. They're teachable. See, there's areas in our life we're teachable in, and there's areas in our life we're not teachable in. It's the ones hidden in darkness that we're defending or in denial. Those two areas we're not teachable in. Amen? The ones we're in teachableness, we grow up in, and the one areas we're not teachable in, we don't grow up. And so what happens is, because God is so loving and so easy to get along with, we can always run to Him, and we can be taught in our relationship towards Him. And we're teachable in that area. Even if we got a whole bunch of stuff, God's always our friend. Amen? He's the one that's easy to hang out with. He's the one I can just get away from everybody and just be with Him. You know, it's just when we have to start doing the other part, loving one another, I got to venture out into some very uncomfortable places, because I've got a lot of things that are out of alignment in here. And when I get around people, see, sometimes I can't be teachable in my love one to another. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I can't allow God to teach me in these areas that are destructive towards my fellow man, because normally I can't see them. You see that? That's why I said, I'm greatest. We have to come to a place where we can be teachable, not just in intimacy and moving into the Spirit of God and living in the realm of the Spirit, but also in our relationship one to another, how we relate and how we love one another, how I love you and how you love me, amen, and how we relate to one another. Because what happens is, when you start relating one to another, you might start seeing something in you that you couldn't see, because what happens, there's some situations that arise in your relationships. If always everybody else's fault, you could be a lonely person. Because if it's everybody else's fault, then I got to get you out of my way, because that's your stuff, not mine. So you create a little world for yourself. That's the big problem, creating a little world for ourselves. Because that right there is going to continue to support what God's endeavoring to remove. Amen? You're creating a world, and what, you can get real good at it. You can get real good at creating a world for yourself. It may not be truth, but it's truth to you. Because you've created it in your mind, and your system of thoughts justifies it and said, this is truth because I say it is. Amen. You can say amen now. You see that? So what happens is God will endeavor to bring relationships your way. Strong ones. Iron sharpening iron. Friends. True. Spirit bonded friendships. He'll try to bring those and integrate you into some accountability. He'll bring authority your way. You know, I have a lot of pastor friends, and there's a whole lot of moving around all the time. You know, when someone gets comfortable, they move to the next place, get comfortable, move to the next place, get comfortable, move to the next place. There's a lot of moving around, because what happens is when the grass is no longer greener, I go to another place and the grass is real green there. And until you have to start relating again, and issues might start developing again, and then you move on. Amen. Instead, it's sitting down and saying, why am I hiding all this? Why do I feel the need? Because you believe the lie that you were supposed to be perfect. And if I allow anybody to actually see that part of me that I've been protecting so strongly, you may not like me. And if you don't like me, you see that? You're protecting an area that's probably been rejected a long time ago. Do you follow me? And because of that, you won't bring it out into open because of a fear. All of it's based in fear that I might be rejected again. You might not look favorably upon me if you actually see that I have a hidden fault. And so therefore, I am going to defend to the end degree, even if it means we never talk to each other again. Isn't that amazing how fear works? See, it encases you into a world that's just your world. You don't want to come out of. You don't want anybody in. Now, I'll give you three scenarios and then we'll close. First scenario is you just keep running all your life. When you have a situation like that, you're going to run. If your natural tendency is to run, when you experience pain, you will be a runner. Amen. Second scenario is you'll stand there and just suffer. Or you'll stay a part of something, but you'll stay outside. Do you know there's levels with people? You never notice you have relationships. There's levels in the church. There's people that like to stay outside the fringe. There's people like to be right in the middle of it all. There's levels. It's been on where your heart wants to be. Amen. Now, there's two ways to deal with this. If you're not going to run, the way you're going to deal with this is going to be you and God. And here's the deal. If you want to get closer to God, if you're one of those that I'm not going to let you deal with it, but I'll let God deal with it. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go to God. You're going to go and you're going to ramp up into the God, and then you're going to hit a ceiling. It's going to be an invisible ceiling. You don't know why it's there. It's just you can't go any further. Come back out here. Don't want any of that. Come back here and you're like this. But I can't get through. And so you get locked in a place. The only way that you're ever going to overcome like that is probably through some very difficult situations. They're going to have to break that. How many of you ever been through brokenness? Raise your hand. Not very fun, is it? The more you protect, the harder you're going to break. The stronger you are at protecting and creating a facade, the harder that thing's going to break when it breaks. It breaks hard. Amen. I said, Lord, I'm always like this. Once I get through something, is there a better way? He said, yeah, it's a much better way. I said, did I have to go down that way? He said, absolutely not. You chose that. I said, did it have to be that difficult? He said, no, but you chose that. I said, yeah, but I loved you. He goes, that wasn't the problem. You wouldn't allow the other part, the love for one another. He goes, you know, I brought people around you that tried to speak into your life. You wouldn't let them. Amen? Because you wouldn't let them in. The only way that God could have got that is broke it. Amen? Broke it. He said that you would have brought that into the light and decided you would at least trust somebody in your life and brought it into the light instead of justified it all your life, He goes, I could have taken it from you very easy. But because you couldn't admit that you had a problem in that area, you hid it. And whenever you hide something, you keep it out of the light. And if you keep it out of the light, it won't change. God had to kind of break the shell that I created. Amen? But he didn't have to do it that way. And I'm trying to tell you something. There are areas in your life that I know you think you're perfect. And you're not. There's not a one in here. And me and myself are perfect. You have areas that are imperfect. It's how you view that. You can deny it. You can isolate. Or you can bring it into light and accountability. Why do you think the Bible says confess your faults one to another? Now, don't just get anybody to go confessing your faults to you. Don't be that naive. But if you have somebody that you can be accountable to and to trust and say, what do you see in me? Oh, God, I'm going to get phone calls this week. What do you see in me, Pastor? What do you see? I may not be close enough to you to see that. Ask your husband. Ask your wife. They'll tell you. They'll tell you in a heartbeat. Amen. They'll let you know real quick. But here's the deal. The first thing I'd ask is God. And here's how you know. If you're a defensive person, just naturally defensive in areas, you're hiding something. You may not know you're hiding something. You may not even know what you're hiding, but you are hiding. And if you're hiding it, it's not in the light, and you're carrying it with you. And for you to be promoted is going to require allowing God to come in there and bringing that into the light. So today, what I want to do, I want us to just stand for a moment. The first thing is open a door. Amen. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's a lot of areas that you let God in. And that's how I justified in my areas is because I would obey. But then other areas I'd sacrifice because I just wouldn't let him touch that. I want you to just put your hand over your heart. And just say, Father, my heart belongs to you. It belongs to you. I'm not very good at protecting myself. Jesus, only you are my high tower. Today, I make you my high tower. Today, I refuse to hide anymore. To hide. Today, I open the doors to these rooms. I open the door and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come, bring light in my darkness. Enlighten my darkness. Enlighten my darkness. For there's nothing hid that will not come abroad. Let your word enlighten my darkness. I want everything brought into the light. I want to walk in the light. For he that is in the light, there is no darkness. No more dark places. No more dark rooms. No more past. I don't have to hide. Today, I step into the light. With all my faults, with all my failures, with all my hurts, I step into the light. And I come to the throne of grace. I ask you for grace. I ask you for mercy. I ask you for help. And I ask my fellow man, my friends, my family, to help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him glory. Amen. You know, that's the first step. Here's what I want you to do every day. I feel like the Holy Ghost is telling me to do that. And I'm doing this too. So every day when you go to pray, in the morning, whatever, just before you open your day, just pray that prayer. Just pray that prayer. Father, open my heart. And Father, if there's anything hidden, let me open. And don't be afraid to step out of that room. Don't be afraid to bring it to the light. Don't be afraid to allow God to have it. Don't be afraid to let someone speak into your life. Instead of just being meanly defensive, if someone says something to you that they want to speak, just at least consider it. I mean, I wouldn't even consider it. I'd just fight them over it. Amen. Just consider. And said, you know, let me go pray about that. You know, not everybody that speaks in your life is right. But if it's a pattern, they probably are right. Hey, and it's okay to have a fault. Amen. It's okay. It's okay to have a fault. And God loves you. Pastoring 15 years with a pretty big one. Amen. It's okay to have a fault. It's okay not to be perfect. Amen. Just don't go hiding it from everybody. Because I got news for you. We can see it anyway. We can see it. When we walk in the anointing, the thing we laugh about is that they're hiding. They're denying we see it. They're hiding and we see anyway. Because people who walk in the light, they're going to see it anyway. You're not hiding. You're only hiding from yourself. Amen. Amen.